Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for Dungeon Masters to work out their minds. I'm DM Neil, aka Jump Maniac, and with me is the official, unofficial, best ever co-host of, well, second best ever, maybe. I don't know, you guys can fight. Co-host of DMnastics.
I was trying to find the soundboard that was created with all my words on it, and I was to play one of my own me's at myself, interrupting myself, and it didn't load in time. My apologies. I am Morgan Jenkins, and I do not have the ability to get my own soundboard here right now, and for this, I am saddened.
It's okay. It will happen at one point. It will definitely happen.
Yes, one of these days, the internet in Australia will actually exist to a degree that I'm able to load a web page without my computer shaking.
It's an added feature. It's like a rumble pack on a on a controller.
Yes, that none of us asked for.
No. So, for this one, it's tied back to DMnastics number 38, The Final Countdown.
And that is as much as we're allowed to sing, for copyright reasons.
Yep, but if you want to go to the forums, I linked the whole YouTube video so you can check that out.
Oh, such a good YouTube video.
Yes.
None of it makes sense.
No, and that one is tied back to episode 50, Writer's End, a Shemesh epilogue. And as you can imagine, the guests, the plural, guests for that were Mitch's players.
Say that six times fast.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. So if you don't remember that episode, it was the one where they talked about the epilogue for Mitch's campaign before he started his new one. So a lot of that revolved around the last tales of his players. So the idea I had, and affectionately titled The Final Countdown, was to find some images on the old interwebs and, well, find images specifically of what would appear to be people's final moments in a fantasy setting.
So basically, you're now on some sort of list because you typed the words fantasy, murder, and a couple of other key phrases into Google search engine.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was probably already on that list, but I'm probably on a lot of lists now anymore. So we have a couple of them that we wanted to highlight. This might be, I feel like we've done something kind of like this before, but it might be a little bit different because we're essentially going to read stories, awesome stories, that the users from the forums posted in relation to the images.
Basically, what we have is a previous one. In fact, a previous episode that I was on, we provided a bunch of album covers and said, go to town, give us some information from this image. But here we've given them a very specific request. We've said, no, we want you to be as just brutal as you can and give us these final moments of these characters. And so this first one that we're going to be doing here, it's the first chosen idea. It's by DM Rowan, and the image, I can't remember the number, but it's basically what looks like Sauron with a big red cape fighting Eowyn on the battlefield. That's the vibe I'm getting, and there's clouds, and they're all dark, and some of them might be smoke, but then there's some sunlight coming through, showing hope. And of course, what says hope? Well, a story about murder and sadness. That's hope to me, really. And so we're going to read what DM Rowan has written here. This story of hope.
Yes.
And happiness and just glee. And by the end of it, your heart will be full of joy. Their swords rang out loudly in the smoky battlefield. For a war zone, it was eerily quiet, save for the repeated clash of metal on metal. Around the paladin, fallen and bloodied on the ground, lay her comrades. Before her stood Dorzerul, the Shadow Knight of Nerul. Behind him, the smaller sun shone starkly through the clouds, creating a glare through the tears streaming heavily down her cheeks. Her weak and weary arms barely managed to fend off his blows, parrying endlessly.
Give up,
he boomed, his voice sending shivers through her.
You're tiring. I will slay you soon.
I can't give up, she said bravely, her throat tight. Someone has to stop you.
Then I am not responsible for your death.
He swung again, beating her helmet from her head and pushing her to one knee. Dazed, the warrior barely had time to deflect the next blow. Quickly, she jumped to her feet and swung to the side. As he moved to block her, her leg struck out, knocking him onto his back. She leaped forward, raising her sword above her head. Then she froze.
I can't kill you, she sobbed, blade slowly lowering.
You're weak, Moira,
he hissed. He kicked her legs out from under her as she fell roughly, her sword skidding across the blood-soaked ground. He rose to his feet, and she lay there, sobbing softly. He loomed above her, placing a foot on her chest and gripping his sword in both hands to run her through. Moira closed her eyes, tilted her face up to the sun's.
Pelor, forgive me, she prayed silently. I tried, I really tried, but I just can't kill him. It hurts too much.
Be still, my child.
His voice echoed in her mind.
You will never hurt again.
A sudden thrust sent the great sword through her heart. Despite the uncomfortably disturbing feeling of having a large piece of metal protruding from her chest, she felt no pain. Breathing heavily, she smiled. Blood pooled in the back of her throat. Peace filled her being. Her body began to glow, becoming a divine golden light.
What?
Dorzerul attempted to remove his sword, but the light wrapped around his leg and swirled up his sword to grasp his wrists. Her body melted away, becoming a swirling golden light that wrapped around his arms and legs, forcing him to his knees and binding his hands to the ground.
What have you done?
He cried, glaring at her through the slits in his helmet. His eyes were wide and blazing with rage and fear.
I can't kill you, she spoke to his mind. But I can't let you bring darkness to this world either.
You're imprisoning me?
He spat.
You can't.
I'm sorry, Kalok. I will always love you.
No, you can't do this.
The bodies of the fallen began to glow as well, turning into radiant, thorn-covered vines. They wove together, shooting into the sky, to form a huge dome of glowing briars.
I will always love you, Kay.
The shadowed knight bellowed in rage before the dome hardened into a solid, thorny thicket, closing his dark power off from the world in a reality outside of time. And that's the end.
Ta-da!
Technically it says the end Morgan, but I'm fairly certain I'm still here, so...
Yeah.
Pretty good with that.
Oh, here's the twist. Morgan was the bad guy.
Morgan's been dead this whole time.
I love it.
Just a really, really complicated computer program. No one tell Morgan. So I thought that was a really cool idea, because it gave us a lot to play with. You've got this paladin communing with the god, and the god actually talking back, which happens so rarely in D&D games, probably because you don't have that magic button that makes your voice go all echoey that I do.
True. And
that's like the only reason it doesn't happen.
You figure the character's going to die anyways, might as well give him that one. But yeah, DM Rowan, well done. Yeah, she definitely brought an awesome story and an awesome legend to the land of Deimbe.
And a fantastic twist at the end where it's like, oh, sup, you actually have a different name, Kylo.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes it great, is that there's so much left unanswered. I mean, it would be a great piece to kick off an entire story. Like, oh, you like that? Well, here's the book I wrote, kind of thing.
It's called The Briar Dome.
The Briar Dome. The next one is going to be from Laser Sniper.
That is quite a name.
Every time I say it, I want to say pew pew, but which I did now, so is what it is. And the imagery for this one's pretty interesting. So it's like a knight in front of a fire with creepy giant skeletons coming out of the darkness and countless sets of eyes behind the ones you can see.
All the skeletons have glowing blue eyes, and then in the black, there is just blue specks of light. Very reminiscent of Death's eyes from the Terry Pratchett universe, the Discworld universe.
So for this one, it's more of a journal entry format, So we'll go ahead and give that to you now. 7 days ago, the Evernight had consumed the beacon, extinguishing the flame that had protected Providence from the creatures of darkness. 7 days ago, 20 of us, from Paylor's order, set off to relight the beacon. 7 days ago.
6 days ago, we marched confidently with symbols blazing brightly into the Evernight. 6 days ago, we hadn't a worry in the world as Paylor guided our blades to our enemies' hearts. 6 days ago.
5 days ago, we felled a beast that was of many men's flesh, burning it with holy fervor. 5 days ago, the beast consumed one and made us 19. 5 days ago.
4 days ago, we met the hordes from the Greymouth. They were drawn by the symbols of Paylor. 4 days ago, 6 more fell bravely in battle and made us 13. 4 days ago.
3 days ago, we descended into the Gravemouth to rekindle the beacon for the people of Providence. 3 days ago, 8 more fell to prevent the rotten dragons from giving chase, making us 5. 3 days ago.
2 days ago, the light that guided us betrayed us, as we were fell upon by hunters of light. 2 days ago, 4 fell, and I covered my light to restore the greater one. 2 days ago.
1 day ago, I made it to the beacon and thrust my muddied symbol down its chute. 1 day ago, I prayed my disgraced symbol would not fail this mission. 1 day ago.
Tonight, I watch the beacon's light fire back to the surface. Tonight I sit and hear the beasts return. Tonight I rest.
That's it. That's the last entry. But he did it.
I want to know what happened 8 days ago. It's like 8 days ago, we were just, you know, in the tavern thinking like, hey guys, maybe we should go to Evernight. Feel like that'd be a good idea. Ooh, Providence, am I right?
8 days ago, my biggest question was, what should I eat for lunch today?
The answer was avocado and chicken.
Yes.
I love diary entries. I've always loved stories with diary entries.
Well, and again, you get to ask those questions of like, what made the beacon go out in the first place?
Yep. And you never find out. You don't really, like, there are all these different beasts, but they don't seem to be actively doing anything near the beacon.
Yeah, it's just trying to get there in the first place.
Okay, so this is number 3. This is by some fellow whose name, it says here, I'm not allowed to say it, but it rhymes with Moat Jontiac.
Yeah.
Jontiac? I feel like there's meant to be a T there, right?
Close enough.
I've just been mispronouncing it this whole time. So, number 3. Do you want to describe the image that this person chose?
Yes. It looks a lot like medieval Batman is...
It does! Oh, I didn't notice the weird pointy ear bits.
Yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like Batman.
Yeah, so it looks kind of like a medieval Batman. And there's a citadel off in the distance, and or castle, however you want to say it, with many enemies in between, both on land and in the air.
There's Batman versus the Hotel California.
Yes.
You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
It's like that episode of Star Trek. Go on.
Oh, you mean the one with Niles playing Moriarty, or am I thinking of a different one? Yeah, no, I'm thinking of a different one.
Yeah, there's one where they're stuck in a casino and they try and get out, but they can't.
That sounds like Star Trek.
Yep.
Renfred the Protector's final pursuit is a tale of a harrowing journey across Dayime Bay that ended at the Citadel. After the princess was stolen, it was Renfred who was tasked with getting her back to the king. At no point was this thought to be a two-way trip. Renfred was given a glyph to place on the princess that would teleport her back to the throne room in an instant.
The now queen has thought over the story of her savior time and time again, but the last moments of his life are the ones she will never forget. She had been hearing a commotion for many minutes now. First, starting outside, where she could see a man possessed, cutting a bloody swath through anything that moved to oppose his progress. Slowly but surely, it drew closer to where she was being held until the fighting was practically on top of her room. It was. They were fighting directly above her, and before she knew it, they came crashing through the ceiling.
In the crumbled mess was Renfred, or at least most of him, as well as three other motionless forms. Renfred motioned for her to come to his side and remove his helmet. Hidden inside was the glyph needed to save her, and with a quickness that surprised her, Renfred took the glyph, slapped it onto her arm, and began chanting. As she shimmered away, she heard him say,
"Give it to one who is worthy."
As she heard this, she realized she was in the throne room of her country once again. She looked down to see the helmet still in her hands.
Poor Renfred.
Ugh. He's not had a good run of things, has he?
No. But he knew what he was getting into. He was successful, so. And he's like, "Man, my coolest looking item, please give it to someone else. Take my Batman helm."
Well, this is the thing, is that everyone so far, in all these stories that we've picked out, they know what they're getting into. They know, oh, this is a one-way trip. Or, hey, there are 20 of us, let's go do a thing. And by the last couple of days, it's like, well, I'm a try, but who even knows?
Yeah, I feel like that guy there, he was going into it and thinking, oh, we might get the beacon, it'll be fine. Ooh, it did go south yeah. pretty quickly, though.
Day 8. We might get the beacon, it could be fine. Day 7. Oh, whoops.
Alrighty. Chosen idea number 4. Isn't really a chosen idea. It's done per our usual, with some heavy lifting on the spot. Although, I have to admit, we did a little bit of a pre-workout on this one because it's a story, and as hilariously awful as it would probably be for Morgan and I to make you a story on the spot, we decided against it.
Well, I mean, look, to be perfectly honest, we almost did because the story was made on the spot. It then just got a little bit of a brush up where a certain someone removed most of the insanity that a certain other someone whose name is Morgan might have put in there.
Touché. Yep. You did the heavy lifting. I just corrected your form. That's all that happened.
Which means, of course, that I have not read this since it was written. So some very strange and interesting things may soon occur. But the image that was chosen, and we chose this one, it was one that just seemed really interesting to both of us, was number 11 on the DMnastics 38 Final Countdown forum page at dungeonmastersblock.freeforums.net. And it was number 11, and it's a black and white image. There's a fellow sort of dressed like a Roman legionnaire. He's got a giant spear. He's got a shield there or some weird bulge in his left hand that I assumed was a shield. And he's standing in this old crumbling ruin of a building with lots of vines growing on columns, and in front of him there is a beast that is mostly teeth and spines and maybe some weird mouthy grabby bits, kind of like a Moreton Bay bug.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
And on top of it is sitting a shadow wrapped in rags holding a big knife.
And so the story goes.
As last stands go, it wasn't bad, he thought. Although there comes a point when you have to ask yourself, is there such a thing as too many teeth?
Glaring up at the creature facing him through strands of hair matted with his own blood and the blood of his companions, Omdar the Scarred had to agree with himself. Sometimes there was such a thing as too many teeth. After a point, it stops making sense. Although, perhaps that was the blood loss talking. For instance, there's no sense in this. If he'd been even halfway sane, he'd have ran long ago, like the rest of his kin. He certainly wouldn't be standing here, left calf trembling as the remaining muscles spasmed in the ruins of his homeland. What fools they had been to think it could be retaken. The whole land? And here he was, the last of his heroic invading army, unable to take back this border city, this Kaliamar.
Is it invading if you're taking it back? Like, it's not stealing if it was yours to begin with and it got stolen, right? I mean, there should be a different word for that, like revading or retaking, you know, in the name of our fathers. Retaking back in the name of our fathers. Focus!
He shook his head, drops of blood flying from the few hairs not plastered by sweat and blood to his body. He's distinctly lacking an armor body. Although, what use was armor when facing this thing? The lower part of his chainmail was still intact, for the most part, and he had his trusty shield. Plus, he still gripped that spear he'd borrowed from a stone statue of a guy with a constipated-looking face. He chuckled. So did Mr. Shadow Rags up there, sitting on top of the tooth and claw thing, with all its spines and sinew.
I'm distracted again, he thought. I'd blame the blood loss if I were you, he answered. Well, you are me, so good enough, he answered them both.
He stopped making noise and shifted his feet ever so slightly. Rolled his shield arm forward and locked eyes on the creature's, well, where he'd imagine a throat would be for a human, which in this case was in the middle of the mouth. Better see the whole of the creature to spot the subtle shift of limbs and claw that would broadcast an attack.
He'd made a promise. It didn't matter to who at this point. Merely that it had been made. They needed time. Time to escape. To get the word back, so next time they would be prepared. Next time. His death would probably not buy that time, but he'd make his few seconds count.
Yes.
Okay, so, listeners, gentle listeners, chainmail, really, chainmail.
I'm sorry.
You just got rid of the lower part of his lorica.
No, there's no way that would have worked out.
Really? It looks like the lower part of a lorica.
Yeah, but the first dead, yes, and I'm fine with that, but then I was like, no, Morgan, you've gone too far.
I looked at that and went, that kind of looks like the lower part of a thing that a Roman would wear. Let's look up the name of that thing. Yeah, I researched that.
But then other people would have to research it too.
Exactly, and then together we would all learn that I was wrong and should have used the full name and not half of the name, because Lorica's only half of the name and it was a silly pun because he's only wearing half of it. Hashtag Lorica.
Hashtag Dougspiracy. Doug made you do it, don't tell me he didn't.
Doug made you do it. That one was fun, and I enjoyed putting it together because after having read all these other ones where everyone else has this noble, epic end, and it's the kind of end that songs get sung about, I felt like sometimes these big, heroic, noble ends are actually a lot smaller in scope, and maybe it was the black and whiteness of the image talking to me, just bringing all of that down, but I felt like giving him this character, this moment, that for him was big. He was completely spent at the end of his rope and yet still chose to fight. To give him that, where there were no witnesses and he knew that he would not win the day, but he might just count a little bit. And he was cool with that. That just, it felt like a fun idea to play with. This idea that sometimes these big, dramatic, epic deaths don't need to be big and dramatic for anyone except you. And I was also toying with the idea that if he is at that point, then he's lost a lot of blood, he's, you know, emotionally and spiritually broken, he's done, he is exhausted, and with the blood loss and the exhaustion and probably sunstroke, sometimes you go a bit loopy.
Oh yeah, a little bit off. I mean, it is his final moments, so I mean, you have to, I mean, who's to say how you view that? From what perspective can you approach the final moments?
And I also like the idea that, you know, generals and people of lore and people that know such things would know the names of these creatures and know the names of the enemy that they're fighting. And this guy, just being one of the soldiers, probably doesn't know the name of the enemy. And around the campfire late at night was probably just toying with some nicknames with his mates. And they're like, oh, Mr. Giggle Rags or whatever his name was. Yeah, Mr. Shadow Rags. And, you know, just coming up with these silly little names for the bad guys they're facing in order to sort of demean them somewhat. Yeah, I enjoyed putting it together.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. I mean, all of them were fun, and there's still some more that we didn't talk about. So if you want, and you might want to, after hearing us talk about these, definitely go check out all of the stuff that's on the forums there. There's a couple left, so if you feel motivated to give someone their final moments in a fantasy setting, you can definitely head to the forums.
Well, I mean, some of them are fantastic. And again, it's that thing where we can only choose so many, and so we don't want to sit here and go, oh,
you know, oh, you didn't choose mine, or oh, they chose this person's and not this person's. Some of them we chose, or we didn't choose, because they were long. Which didn't mean they were bad, it just means that there's only so much that we can talk. Which, I know this is me saying it, so it's unbelievable, but it's true.
Inconceivable.
You keep using this word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yes.
And of course, there are some fantastic images there that have not been touched yet that really could use with a bit of backstory. I know number 8 at the time of recording this wasn't, and that was another one that spoke to me. Although possibly that's just the imagery of blood on snow. I don't know. Don't mind me. I'm just going to sit over here.
That one is good. And so I just want to implore the listeners to join the forums and take part in these challenges, the ones coming up, the ones before it, and the other conversations that we have, which are always awesome.
I'm even on the forums, though unofficially.
Give or take.
I don't have an official name. I just kind of pop up here and there.
So,
of course, if you want to come and talk to us on the forums and get involved with that stuff, which it's fantastic. There's even a map. You can head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some Deonastics. So your players don't ask, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.